So obviously, as my comments so far might suggest, this episode is going to speak to people on very different levels, roughly dividing the audience into two camps: those who don't really know or appreciate baseball, and those for whom baseball itself puts a halo around the entire episode, again, because there's this kind of nostalgia for the game. And don't really have too much to say about the episode itself. I think the fact that Casey needs to prove his humanity by getting a heart, and the kind of clockwork tick-tock he gets in the end, reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man. When he gets his heart, all it is his pocket watch, and that seems similar here. I'm tempted to call this episode Base Runner, or Blade Runner by way of Base Runner, because there's this sense of the replicants, and is this a real human or a replicant? And I don't know if I'd want this doctor as my doctor, because it takes him an awful long time to determine that something's not quite right. Although I suppose Casey is warm to the touch, and his pupils dilate or constrict under the ophthalmoscope that the doctor uses. So maybe everything was perfect except for the pulse. Maybe there's just a more smooth-running heart pump that's keeping the skin warm and moving fluids around, however that's done. But I just want to call attention, for the benefit of those who might not know the lore of baseball, I caught only three real-life baseball references in the episode. One is to Bob Feller, who was famous for having the hottest fastball in the game up to a certain point. Leo DeRocha, who was mentioned apropos the manager flipping out if he finds out about the robot, and DeRocha was known as a manager for the Brooklyn Dodgers before they moved to Los Angeles, and even after, he was their manager, known for being very hard-nosed and having a hot temper. And then, of course, Joe DiMaggio, who, if you've never even heard of Joe DiMaggio, maybe you've heard the Simon and Garfunkel song, "Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio?" One of three men to marry Marilyn Monroe, incidentally, and holder of the longest hitting streak in baseball, 56 games in which he hit safely, got to base. And there, I suppose, there was an alternative outro by Serling, in which he mentioned some real-life pitchers of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Sandy Koufax, etc. But I think it's better that those were left out of the outro, because it might be a little too dated and a little too on the nose. One real-life pitcher who was active right around the time this episode premiered was Jim Boughton of the New York Yankees, who in some ways resembled Casey. He was about that age, and definitely one of the goofier and one of the last great larger-than-life personalities in the sport. He pitched successfully for the New York Yankees in their 1961 World Championship Series, World Series, and then went on to write a very controversial book called Ball 4, which kind of exposed the seedier side of baseball lifestyle, because until that book, there really was this sense of baseball players as being the epitome of wholesomeness in the U.S., even though someone like Mickey Mantle, who was considered like kind of the all-American boy, was a raging alcoholic whose drinking would eventually kill him, there was still this aura around baseball players that they could do no wrong. They were kind of paragons of clean living and fair play and virtue, even though if you dig deeper into baseball's history, baseball was a pretty rough and tumble sport, game, I should say, back in the day. And I haven't read too much about it, but my guess is that, like with many sports around the turn of the 20th century, the reason people were so intensely interested in it was gambling. which of course came to a head in 19 World Series scandal with the Chicago White Sox, who allegedly threw the game through the series and became known as the Black Sox, and led to a new baseball commissioner, Mountain Landis, who was known for his toughness. And I think the baseball commissioner, as portrayed in this episode, is kind of based on him, because he was brought on to kind of salvage the reputation of baseball and take a very hard line on the rules. No nonsense, no bending of the rules, and certainly no shenanigans. So in that, this case of the episode definitely diverts, because Landis, I don't think, would have allowed a robot, but hey, this is fiction, right? But anyway, back to Jim Boughton. He exposed baseball in his book Ball 4 and kind of finished his career in the majors, and then went on to play for the Portland Mavericks, which is a whole big story in its own right. I highly recommend to anyone with the slightest interest in baseball to check out the documentary The Battered Bastards of Baseball. And I mention it mainly in regard to this episode because it's, they hold an open tryout, and this was, I think, 1975. It's a minor league baseball team, but it was at a time when the minor leagues were not simply major league affiliates. They were actually one of the last, I think the last, independently owned minor league ball clubs. And they hold open tryouts, which kind of do resemble the open tryouts in the beginning of this episode. So definitely worth a look there. And then Jim Boughton, remarkably, after so-called slumming it in the minors, did stage a brief major league comeback many years after his initial pitching career was over. So extraordinary personality, extraordinary story. There's a lot more to him, and he actually just passed away in the last week. So one of the last great personalities of 20th century baseball went on. Is safe at home, I guess you could say.